Grace, mercy, and peace, they are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you to learn, to hear your word. And we ask you that you open our hearts, you open our minds to be transformed, to learn what we need to learn, to change what we need to change. And in that way, walk in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit, open my lips, and I pray that my meditation will be pleasing to your heart. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people say, amen. Well, it's a reminder, again, is I don't know if you remember what I was talking in my last sermon about how we go from one day to another and weeks by, and we don't stop to think and think a little bigger and a bigger picture, then it's just a reminder that we're still in the Epiphany season. Epiphany is when Christ has been revealed to us, but not only is revealed in a simple way, it's revealed in an amazing way, in a way that should transform our lives. And that's what we go through this season. And one of the epiphanies that I have for this Sunday and the next one, and it's something that hopefully you remember, but if you don't, we are halfway through the month, but just keep this in mind to the rest of the month. John 15, 1 and 2. And this is what Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And it's a remembrance because look around you. It's a new year. There's new challenges. I don't know if you have changes or in your life. Some kids going back to college and new jobs. Sometimes life can be hard. Maybe we're sick or dealing with mental health or some things like that. What we need to remember is God. God is the gardener. If there's something missing in your life, it's probably because God took it away. But he took it away for you to become more fruitful. And on the other hand, even if you are doing fine and you have a beautiful season in your life and you think that it's a very fruitful life that you're living, sometimes plants don't come as we expected. And we end up seeing certain situations that we don't want. Is remember that he is the gardener. And no matter what is your situation, God is with you and is going to take care of you in good and bad times, in order for you to be fruitful for his kingdom. And that's all I have to say about the main thought for the month, then. Just keep it in mind. And coming to the topic of the day. Sometimes I'm strange picking up titles, and I have to do it way ahead, then I just come with these ideas. But something that came to my mind is about a melting pot. Then the meditation today is not a mental melting pot. It's about the gospel. And it is in my heart. We talk about the melting pot about probably a decade, 2 decades ago, when people start to say, oh, America is this mix of different people, and then everybody's going to be melting like a melting pot, and we should be one, and all that. But I think it's coming back. Right now you are hearing about equity. And you hear it in the news, in the politic talk, in the social talk, and all that. Equity of results. Everybody should have the same, and all that. They are not even talking about equality anymore, because that refers to opportunities. And it's a social trend that the world is trying to impose in us. And then you see the churches, even our church here probably. And being a missionary and being in different places and all that, I think sometimes what we want to do is we want to do the things in a certain way and look all the same. And that's not real. We are not a melting pot. That's not the concept in the Bible. And with that, I want to go through the readings of the day. Okay, opening with Isaiah, first verse. And here is what God is telling through the prophet. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. For her. Anybody knows who is her? Well, in a simple way, it's the church, the body of Christ. Each one of us, we are the bride of Christ, the church, the body of him. And he's talking about an historical situation. And once again, I like and I think as a church, we need to share more the historical parts. It's real stories. And he said that in the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Anybody knows where is Zebulun or Naphtali or why is he mentioned it? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Okay, well, I have to go back to my books too and do a little research. Zebulun and Naphtali, remember the kingdom? You have 12 tribes and then everybody has different regions. Then when the Babylonians came, they took all Babylon and they exiled the people and all that. But after that, there were the Assyrians that they came over. And it was very specific in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And I think the term we use nowadays, they almost carpet bombed the area. They took away the people. It became an empty territory. And then what ended up happening, people from different tribes, from different customs, and all that, start to fill up those places. They start to settle. And they brought with them their beliefs, their gods, their traditions, different food and all that. And that's what he said later on is, but in later time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan. And he called that region Galilee of the nations. Galilee of the nations, the promised land, filled up with different people, not filling up with a melting pot. Each people in that place have their own characteristics. And look around us. Look our communities. Look our schools. We are, in that sense, very similar. We have people from all over the world. People from all over the United States. And we are settling here. And then, that's how we know that the world that he's talking about is a world that we are living today, too. And what he said is people who's walking in darkness and they have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shine. Remember who is shining that light? We are. We the church. We the bride of Christ. And this has been going on for over 2,000 years. Many countries, many cultures, empires have fallen and risen. And the church, people like you and me, we have shared the light of Christ into the world. And God has done it. Then that put in context the Old Testament. And you see how relevant it is for us today? And with that, let's go to the epistle. Okay, the reading of the epistles, many of you know about that. Is the custom is to read the Old Testament because it's going to point to Christ. when we read the New Testament and the stories of these letters to these churches, is for us to get a grasp of what was the life of the church. Many people think, oh, the church, oh, good people, everybody's nice, and they do good things, etc., etc. No. No. The life of the church has always been a problem. When you read the letters of the New Testament, when it's talking about people who is theft or sexual immorality or talking against each other and all that, those letters were written to the church, not to the unbelievers. And that's why we read it here. And that's when Paul is dealing right now with this problem. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you. You need to be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Then, in our families, what is dividing you in your household? Right now that we are trying to see what is next for the church, what are the divisions? We are all different. And God is going to use us all with different talents, with different positions. We are different. It's not that, oh, everybody wants the pink carpet. Well, we need a playground for the kids, and we need dirt too. And food, especially if you invite me to food, make sure that there is salsa, chili jalapeno, because we are all different. What is dividing you? In the conversations that are going on in the church right now, what is dividing you? And the next question is, why are we focusing on the differences? It is not a melting pot. Okay, verse 11. It's been reported to me by close, but I don't know who she is. The quarreling among you. And what Paul is pointing us is reminding us that it is about people. That's what Paul talked to people, and he knows stuff because it's about people. The church, the bride of Christ, is not a building. It's not an address in Plano. Not an address somewhere in Texas. The church is the people. If this place didn't exist and we're gathering here around the sacrament and the word of God, and we're in the middle of a tree, are we still St. Paul? We will be. Then let us stop focusing on the difference and focusing on what is important. That is about Paul. It's not about what I did or you did or someone else did. And that's what Paul comes and say, well, everybody, you, oh, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. And what Paul said, hey, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in that name? No, Christ. Christ is the one who gave his life to forgive us. He sent his Holy Spirit to gather us together to become his bride. And that's what Paul says that. And now, kind of on a side note, Paul is funny to read sometimes because in trying to wash his hands and making his point, he said, I'm happy that I just baptized Crispus and Gaius. So nobody can tell about me doing it. Oh, by the way, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. But beyond that, I don't know. I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. And we happen to forget things, forget names and things. However, he remembered what is important. That is about the gospel. It is about Christ. Christ had sent you not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to share the good news. And then at the end of the letter, I mean, it makes it very clear. It's, we cannot brag about what we do, even if we contribute little or much. Everything is Christ. What can you brag about? Every talent you have was given to you by grace. And yet, we want to impose our will. We want to have this melting pot. And we just look fool about that. That's what he said. The word of the cross is fully for those who are perishing. But for us, we are being saved. Who are being saved is the power of God. And I think, and I'm going to enter to the gospel now, but if you think about it, I was thinking about the melting pot. Oh, by the way, in the title say, not a melting pot. I just want to make a clarification there. Many, some of you are going to say, oh, but Pastor Irfan preached last time, then Pastor is saying, no, it's not a melting pot. He talked about a boiling pot. That is in function of purification and preparation. But it's not the same. I'm not contradicting Brother Irfan. But more than a melted pot, I think we are more like a Cajun gumbo. You see, it takes time and is prepared with what is available. And the thing about that is when you see this gumbo, some people from shrimp and sausages and chicken, no matter how much you boil it, all the things look different. Yet, when they are together, they taste excellent. And it takes time. I would say the only ingredient, if we are using this illustration for the church, is our ingredient. Is the word, the body and blood of Christ. And that's what makes us unique. Kind of a gumbo. And with that said, we need to think about the historical Jesus. Jesus, when we pass Advent, Jesus is walking with us every day. Yet, at the same time, we sometimes focusing on those differences, we start to place self-righteousness. And in the gospel, it's very clear. We need to learn to pick our fights. Jesus picked his fights. Verse 12. When Jesus heard that John has been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. He didn't impose himself. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to take a stand here. And they did it to John. They're going to, okay, I'm going to take a stand and to see if they do it to me. No. He left. He withdrew. And then he says he went to Nazareth. And he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and the Naphtali. What it tells us is that Jesus lived among different people. Jesus didn't want to live in a place where everybody looks the same. He was among people, talking to them, teaching them, loving them. And then with that, he fulfilled the prophecy. And he did it not by following the melting pot mentality. The only thing he did was preach the gospel. And what is the gospel message? The very gospel message that Christ proclaimed. And that is in verse 17. And it's very simple. It's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We like to complicate our beliefs. We have books and books. Nothing wrong with that. But then we forgot that it's something very simple. It's repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then we need to turn back to God every day and repent and be forgiven, knowing that Christ paid for us that price and he's placing us in a place where the kingdom is there. We are that church that shine light in the darkness of the world. Jesus engaged with common people. And he went through Galilee, and wherever he went, teaching, proclaiming, walking among the people. That's the way we need to live. And yeah, I know you are busy. But if you turn around and start to look for the souls around you, starting with your house, your friends, your job, your church family, your neighbors, you're going to find out that there is plenty to harvest. And you're going to be very busy. And you're going to get to messy places. You're going to get with people that probably is living in the street. Or probably you're going to visit someone in a hospital that is in very bad shape. You're going to find a lot of people that is not the ones that you want to take a selfie and put it in your social media. But that's what we're called to do, to walk with people, those in need. Jesus was there looking at diseases, infections, among the people, and he was sharing the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. There is one more thing that I really like, and I remember I read that book some time ago, but I'm not sure if the book is that good, but he makes good points. And he said something like, you don't try Christianity. Either your heart has been transformed by Jesus or it hasn't. You see, we belong to the church. Some of us walk away. I walk away 25 years from the church at some point. There is a lot of Jude that is walking away from the church. And they say, oh, well, now being Christian is no good. There are better things. There are other gods, other religions, and everybody's doing good or whatever it is. If you see your Christianity like that, you are thinking religion. You are not having a relationship with Christ. A relationship with Christ, even if you fall, if you are in the world, away from the church, God is transforming you. It's convicting you. And some of us do better than others at some points. But especially when you feel far away from God, that's when you need to turn back to Jesus. It doesn't have to be a melting pot. You don't have to look like anybody else. Each characteristic is unique for you. And God gives you that talent for something special. The common flavor is Jesus and his gospel. And we are in this together because we have been forgiven. You were baptized. We are strengthened when we come to the table with his body and his blood in the bread and wine. We are the body of Christ, the church, the bride. And remember, the gospel is very simple. The simple ingredient, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by grace to Christ and in his suffering is that we are forgiven. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen.